by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my Spirit, saith
put every mountain in our life before you, Lord. This mountain, we can speak to this mountain and say, be thou removed, and it shall be cast into the sea by the word of the Lord. So, Lord God, we want to remove every hindrance and every distraction from our mind, to put our troubles and our problems out the door, to believe that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. That, Lord, you have given us power over all the power of the enemy. You've given us this authority, Lord, to command these mountains, these giants, these devils that come against us by the word of the Lord. So, Lord God, we thank you for this time. Just bless our brother as he breaks the bread of life. We thank you, Lord, for this people. We thank you for this gathering. We thank you for this opportunity.
Hallelujah.
Anoint us to hear. Anoint our brother to speak.
Hallelujah.
And anoint all of our hearts to receive in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, there's a difference, just like what we're talking about. You know, there's a difference between the life of God and death. Death means that we doesn't have the life of God. Death doesn't always mean the body, the soul departing from the body and going back to God, and the body going to the dust. That isn't always what death is. You know, but the devil wants us to see that as death. That isn't really what death is. That is like the result of death. You understand? You know, and that can be the beginning of the change you can have, if you're able to appreciate that. Death is not just when the body is in the grave, and it is the result. What you call physical death is a result of death, the reality of what death. Because death is separation from the life of God. That is what it is, and the life of God has a certain quality to it. And I say, when you begin to open yourself up to that life, for instance, Jesus said in John chapter 10, "I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly." You know what I mean? So, it's always good to turn the scriptures around. That way you're able to open it up. You know, Corinthians says the letter kills, but the spirit brings life.
Amen.
Okay, so that life that Jesus has come to bring comes by the spirit. All right, so when we come together, even though we have, everyone has his own issues, but when we come together and begin to put our minds together, and you see, the life of God begins to come, and there's a strength that comes with it. You understand? There's a strength that comes with it. And when we live here, it's more difficult for you to maintain that reality. You understand? And the devil knows it.
Yes.
All right? And so he's going to do two things. He knows that when you come together, you're able to touch that life. So what he will do is he will come against your coming together.
Right.
Because he knows it is the source of your strength. Alright? Now, I mean, it's something that my wife and I, we have, you know, we talk among ourselves, and we realized that when each individual, you know, it's like you are finding a hard time to overcome. But one thing is sure, when you go to the fellowship, you get life.
Amen.
And that is a very good thing. But it's not the best. The best should be that I have life and I take it to the fellowship.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Yes, yes.
That's the best. But you see, I tell some people that I'm a realist. That is, I like to face the reality. You know, the reality is that, well, I don't always have that life. But at least I appreciate that when I come together with my brethren, I know I'm going to have life.
That's the difference between denomination and...
Yes. Okay. But I'm willing to start from there. Because I don't want to stay there. I'm not going to stay there. But it's like a safety latch for me. I know that if I'm down, that there's a place of strength. So if I'm sick, I'm not going to stay at home. Because if I stay at home, I'm not going to get life. I may get the doctor, I may call someone, I could go to the hospital, get drugs, but that's not real. I need life in my soul. So I go to the clinic. I go to the soul clinic, and that is the gathering of God's people. Because I know if I get there, I'll get life. Therefore, I value that. I know this is it. Because if he goes, then there's nothing again. You know, and so one of the things that the devil has done has been to come against that. And why he does, I mean, he will do it variously. I mean, he will make you to have a disagreement with someone. Someone says something, you say another one. They say something about you. You know, it's part of what I want to talk about, the value of dry bones. I want to go back to that scripture again. But you see, you know, when you are in, you see, it's not really a valley. What I'm hearing is like a prison. That's what I'm hearing, that is the prison. Because see, the valley is a low place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really a low place where your emotions are down, your mind is down, your desire. I mean, it's real, no, very low expectation, very low esteem of yourself. You know, you don't feel you amount to anything, you're doing anything, your life is worthless. Yeah, it's really a low place. And that's where the devil wants every one of us to be. So you're in that line, you're in the low place. And then he does everything, he puts every trick in the book, to make sure you don't go to that place where you can get life. Okay? And I'm in a place where someone says to me, when I go to fellowship, there's no life. I don't get any life from the fellowship.
What are you bringing?
So I say, fine. What did you bring to the fellowship? If we don't have life, oh, at least you have the life. You should have brought it to give to us. you understand? So when I go there, there's no life, right? Good. You have the life.
Right.
So why are you not bringing it? So you want to keep it to yourself and manage and try to hold on to it. But Jesus says, if you hold on to yourself or to your life, what do? You lose it. But if you give it, you gain it. You understand? So you have a little light. 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 So now, each one of us will have something. We can depend on it. You know, you look at the tabernacle, you see the boards that are standing. All the boards are standing in the tabernacle, if not, it will not be. But some are leaning back, others are leaning forward. Some may even be out of joint, just, you know. Mm-hmm. But you see, you just need a bar to put it straight. When you put the bar, you know, the tabernacle, you have the boards, then you have the bar, that is the ministry. You understand? So when the ministry comes, all the ones that are falling begin to straighten out. All the ones that are out of joint begin to shape up. You understand? So there is something that God is saying to you, giving you the principle of life. And that is in your coming together. It's not in the number, but it's in the principle. That each one has something that you are bringing. And that when you come together, it's a great light. But you see, the fact that there is life when you come, you should treasure it. So the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourself. You know? Because, and you say, you should even do it much more as you see the day approaching. You know, as we see the evil days. You know? So, if I stay in my little corner, I'm just managing. Alright? If I'm able to bring what I have as an offering, then God can bless it. You know, you think of that little boy. He had how many? 2 loaves and 5 fishes, is it not? Okay. Yes, 2 loaves and 5 fishes. He didn't think it amounted to anything. Alright? But that was what Jesus wanted. You know, so what do you have? Just to, so bring it. And he began to multiply it. So there's a strength you have. You don't think much of it. But God, it's in God's bright eyes, it's a big thing. Mm-hmm. You know, this morning I was hearing some things about you. I'm not going to tell you. I'm telling you, God has plans for you guys here. I'm telling you. He has big plans for you.
Praise the Lord.
Anyway, well, he says I'm always planning things. It's okay. I'm excited because I'm hearing and seeing things. So, you think you don't have anything. I'm telling you, you have a lot. You see, and that is you are coming together. And, you know, meaning, like seeing it from the perspective of God. You see, when Joseph was in the prison, he had time to have a long think through. He had the prophetic word. Okay, God had said, "You will rule over your brothers." You know, he saw the. He knew that it was ringing in his heart. It was a dream and a vision he had, but. Where is the vision? Where is the dream? He's in prison. So he had a long... And while he was doing that, God was planning. He was moving on his behalf. Was moving and doing things. He never knew what God was doing. In his mind, he's gone. He's in this prison. In fact, he even tried to get out once in a while.
He tried by his own work. He was scheming.
And you know, people, it's like, how can that be? it can't even be possible. If I'm in prison, how can that word of God even be true?
Exactly.
And you just have to continue to believe that God's going to work.
Exactly.
If you
but the thing is, and that's the point, you know, that it's coming. So you are in prison. Now, Joseph is long and gone. But we're looking at our situation. If you look very well, you will see situations in which you think you're in prison. That is, prison means what? You are helpless. You cannot do anything about it. You're just down there, you know. And you're covered. You're hedged in. You just, you know. And if you look around, you see those kind of, might be a job, it might be a family relationship, but whatever it is, it's there. I can't do anything about it. It might even be something in your body or whatever it is. You're just there. But there's a blessing. Because as he began to look at it, he began to see a different perspective of it. God began to show him. And one of the things he did was I'm sure he thought about the whole episode of his getting to where he was. You know, and I'm sure he must have gotten some insights, made some choices. There was a dealing in his soul that was going on at that time.
Yeah,
and all that. Yes, and all that. You know, so I feel God is saying something to you about valuing the strength that you have. He says, and how valuing the strength means you make it number one.
Yeah.
I give you a testimony. There was a time my wife and I we had a little shop somewhere, and fellowship was in our house, and it was on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. The following day we had to have, you know, prayer meeting. So I said to my wife, it was a shop, it was a store. I said fine. So when it was 3 o'clock, we closed down the shop. Okay, we're going for fellowship. Now, anyone who values what we're selling will get to realize that by on Wednesday at so-so-so time, that shop is closed.
Yes.
And after fellowship, we'll go. So our prayer was simple. Whatever God was going to give to us, he has to give it to us before the shop closes and after the shop closes. But the time for fellowship was not going to be touched. It was a commitment. So that was permanent. So nothing could touch it. So those are the kind of things I'm looking at. So it's, you know, so you go to, you know, working places where people are working so hard, everyone is, and it's like the fellowship has to, you know, is secondary. It has to fit into the busy schedule. You know what I mean?
Right.
So when that happens, what you mean is that you have source of strength. So all the devil needs to do is to make you more busy. Yeah. You know, is to create more family situation. Maybe you have to go visit one uncle. Then maybe when it is time for fellowship, that's when you have to go for a burial. That's when your uncle comes. That's when you have to do something. So well, you see, I can always have fellowship later. Let me go and deal with this family problem. You know, so when you have that setting, that means the strength that you have. You know, so you meaning that life of God, that you maybe once in a while you feel it, you don't even have access to it, because what would have strengthened it? There's no basis for it. You understand? You know, so you personally, you don't have that strength, is not there. The strength is strengthened when you come together. When you're coming together, the devil finds you on it. And even when you notice that personally, the time when you're able to reach life is a time of personal prayer. You know, when you are spending time with God, and that itself, the devil will fight it. Because he's going to create things at home. You know, the television is one, has, you know, cause responsibility with your work, with car, and all that. So at home, no business. Because you've got work to do. then the gathering together, nothing is happening. So even the little that you should have, he has destroyed it. And the Bible says, if the foundations be removed, what can the righteous do? Yeah, so the devil is fighting the foundations. They are coming together. He's also coming against that altar where you able to receive life from God. He's also fighting it. So in other words, you are just floating.
What?
Floating. And not being able to touch the real life of God.
That would be sinking.
Yeah, okay, he says sinking. You understand? So, and for me, that is the value of dry bones. You're just in that low place. Dry bones because there's no flow of life. The life of God is not coming, it's not touching you. You understand? And that is not that there is no flow of the life of God. It is that I or you have, by the operations of your lifestyle, you have not made yourself available for that, you know, for that life to come to you. It's like he was telling me that in California you have this irrigation system, you know. Now every farmer has, you have water coming to you.
Canals.
Okay, you have canals and you block it. Can you imagine? They tell you, you are supposed to open it at so-so time. And that's when your father is sick and you have to go. Alright? You have to go see your father. Or you have to go do something and nobody can open it. So what's going to happen? The water comes and passes.
Mm-hmm.
You're not there. It's not open. That's exactly what is happening in the spirit, because there is a flow. If you look at Zechariah chapter 4, okay, it shows that he said there were two olive trees and there were pipes. Okay, so there is a flow, there's a connection, there's a flow of God's life that comes to us individually and also between among ourselves, because we are all connected. So if I block off, the life of God is coming, but it can't come in because there's a block. You understand? We have not opened it up. You know, so you look at the scripture like I think Psalm 24, where it says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors." Okay, that the King of Glory may come in. You know, I mean, when you look at it, think of the scripture that it does. Revelation 3 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, I'll come in." It is still the same door. So we have the key. But are we going to open it up so that the life of God can come in? You understand? So the situation about the valley of dry bones, it says prophesy. Prophesy means it's the prophetic word you are hearing. The word you are hearing now, that is the word. God said prophesy, it's coming. But you, as an individual, you have to determine if you are going to open up to receive that breath of life that is coming. If it comes,
amen,
then life comes to you collectively. At the personal level, you can also decide to open up. Like he's saying, you come to a point and say, "Well, I am going to open up my heart." You know, the scripture he was telling Joshua, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." Okay? I was saying that, you know, yesterday, the mouth couldn't be this physical mouth, because there's no way he would have had the word, the Bible, in his mouth. He was going around. So the mouth, according to God's language, is your mind. Alright? So if your mouth or the entrance into your soul is your mind, then the devil will want to block it. The life of God is coming, but it's blocked by thoughts. You know? Carnal thoughts, business thoughts, all kinds of thoughts. They are just there. News, you know? And as long as that is there, the gate is locked. So that life of God cannot come in. You know? So so you are looking at it at different dimensions, that there has to be a response. And it is, the response is not a resolution, it is repentance. To come to God and say, "God, I have been going the wrong way. My lifestyle has not been what it should be.
Yes.
That is the first thing. You know? He says, if thou will confess with your mouth. He said, with your mouth, confession is made unto repentance. So,
yes.
If there is an agreement with God that this word is true, I have been going the wrong way. Now, the next step is not to take a decision. The next step is to call out to God and say, God, I want your help. You understand? So, telling God I need your help is not the same as deciding on what to do. So, if you come to God and say, I need your help, that means you open up your heart and you're waiting upon God to show you the way to go. Alright? And He's going to. It might be through a ministry of the word, or might be, you know, He's speaking in your heart. Or, you see, when the mind is busy, it is filled with all kinds of, it's not clear, there's no clear communication. But when you begin to open your mind and you are speaking, you will have a clear, God will speak to you, your mind will be clear, and you will get a direction. This is the way to go. He says, you will hear a voice saying, this is the way to go. Walk here in it. And that step is one step, not 10 steps.
Mm-hmm.
It is just one step to God that you need. You know, Bible says the path of the righteous is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So every step, you're going closer to the light. Every day. So, you are still in that condition, but you're out of the prison, because that situation becomes an opportunity.
Yes.
For testimony.
Amen.
You understand? So that prison condition now becomes your opportunity for testimony.
Yes.
Joseph has a testimony, because you cannot have a testimony unless there's a problem.
Yes,
so in the prison condition, it is an opportunity for glory. It depends on how you look at it. So every day, like you said, every day, oh God, today I don't have water in my house. Today, this has happened, my fridge is broken down. This. You're just saying, that is what the devil wants, the negative. But you could wake up in the morning and you see, say, praise God. Today I'm going to have a miracle. It's an opportunity for God to move. I don't have water. Are you so well? After today, I'm going to believe God. So let's see. So the devil says, if you believe God, that's not your business. My business is to believe God and to confess it and to say it. God's business is to honor His words.
Yes.
You know, but most of the time, we want to do both. We want to and also provide. It's not going to happen. You understand? So you have to make your response. So when you see that situation, then it's an opportunity for a miracle. It's an opportunity for God to move. And that bad situation is an opportunity for testimony. Alright, he was saying, I had an accident before I came out on the 8th of November. So I was saying, God, what do I do? How am I going to travel? I was supposed to travel. And God said, I heard the word, do this. And that bad situation was turned to be a good thing. So in that same situation, God will always prove Himself faithful. He will. You know, so it all comes down to response. It all comes down to how you are seeing it. Do you see it as a valley of dry bones? Or do you see it as an opportunity to rise? The deeper you fall, the higher you rise. You can give me the scripture. Jesus, He says that though He was a son, yet He did not think that He should be the only one that should be a son of God. He felt that you should be there. You should be there. I should be there. So the only way He could get all of us to come was to come down to our level. You understand? He had to come down and become like, put on human. So He had to empty Himself.
Yes.
Of God. That everything. Amen. That was, He emptied Himself of it.
Yes.
And as he emptied it, he's giving it to us. Okay, fine, I'm giving it to you. So he's giving you and me an opportunity to empty ourselves of ourselves, of our failures, of our deficiencies, of our. So if I empty myself, then I can receive the fullness of him. It's an opportunity. You understand? So he came down and he said, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. He didn't just get there. He first came down. So he that ascended is first descended, is it not? And he was lifted up. So it's the same situation practically, that you are in this deep hole. I mean, nothing is happening, nothing is working. That means you have a potential. The deeper that hole, the more God can raise you. You understand? If you can believe it. You understand? And Jesus, he took him down and he raised him up and set him far above every principality and power.
Yes.
Every name that is named. Not only in this world, amen. But can you imagine how powerful that is? Not only in this age, even in eternity, his name is far above. And he's giving you an opportunity to be part of that excitement. You understand? You know? So what God is offering us is beyond just 5-10 years of whatever it is. It's speaking of generations. It says a priesthood of unchanging generation. It is of, you know, ages without end in it. You know. So there's a word that has come, and it's a very strong word of encouragement to you. And you know, for me, the first place is to come to a place of repentance. Do you look at your setting? What is happening? You know, it's the word that's coming. Is it bringing the confirmation? Is it touching something? You know. And is it calling for a repentance? So if it is calling for repentance, then there has to be a response to say, well, I'd like to respond to that. In your heart, God, I want to make a response and I want to make an offering. You know, and that offering is an offering for change. You say, I'm willing. I need help. I'm willing to be helped. You understand? So it's like you are giving God an open check. I want to be helped. I need to be helped. I want to change. I want to move forward. And you know, when the man is there, there's no limit to how far you can be with God. And then when you are there, you have to wait upon God. God will begin to do something. The scripture that comes to me is Elijah. And the sons of the prophets of Baal, you know. Prior to that time, there was no water, there was no life, everything was dry. 3.5 years, dry, no water anywhere. All right, not just that, the prophets were all hiding. They were in holes and caves, and they were everywhere, you know, nobody was anywhere to be seen because Jezebel was looking for no water. Everyone was there. I mean, it's terrible, really bad now, is it not? So it was at Frisco. It was worse. But, you know, in that situation, Elijah himself was also running, you know. God came to me and said, what are you doing here? Yes. What are you doing? He said, look, it's very bad. Very, very bad. I'm running for my life. I just want to go do this and I'll die. God said, not yet. You know? So I don't know if that's where you are. I said, well, I just want to get ready and die. You know, just very soon the whole thing will end. God said, not yet. Get up. You know. So he had to come to a point where he had to respond to God. You know, he had to believe. There's a choice. Is he going to believe what God was going to say? And I said, rise, eat. So God began to bring life to him. You know, and he said, go to Ahab. Me, Ahab, the man that is looking for the prophet. You know, and he had to believe God. So he went on that word and he confronted the man, and he now began to repair the altar of the Lord. That's what you need to do. You need to repair the altar of the Lord in your hand and in this whole area of California. You need to repair the altar. Repairing the altar is just one man. One man. You just need one person to say, I will be responsible. I will be responsible. That's what God is looking for. I will be responsible. Just one man. Now, when you make, you see, altars are built by decisions. When you make a decision, it's an altar you have built. In the natural, you build an altar, but to build that altar, you also decide in your heart that I'm going to build. Then you go get stone, is it not? But now we don't go get stone, but the altar is still there in the heart. So when you propose in your heart to do something, you are building an altar. You are setting a platform for God to act. So, and when you have done that, you have to guard it. Well, Paul, the man says, should guard their heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. You understand? So that decision you make is to say source of life to you and to others that are around. So God is saying, rebuild your altar. So Elijah went. He began to bring the stones. It was one stone after the other. Did they bring all the stones together? It was one stone after the other. One stone after the other. He began to build this side by side. And when he did that, he said, pour water on it. Pour water. They didn't say, pour it again. You understand? So those are ingredients. You see, when you begin to bring, you bring what, you bring the word of God, you bring life to it, you begin to go to God. You know, you are seeking the face of God, you are, you know, ministering to God, you are giving yourself, responding to God, you are pouring water on it. So pour it. And it was inevitable, the fire had to come. So when he didn't need to spend all the time like the other ones, oh my God, do this. No. The conditions were set and the fire came. You know, and not just the fire, the rain. And he went out to look. He said, look, you see, I see something like the hand of a man. It's like the abundance of rain coming. So I'm hearing a sound. Can you hear the sound of rain coming? Can you hear the sound of rain? I'm hearing it. You might have thought that it will never happen in your lifetime. You think it's gone, finished.
Yeah.
Well, God says today, it's not your time. Rain is coming. You need to believe it. That
Amen.
Rain is coming. You know, now when he sent the man to go look for the rain, I didn't see anything. See, God, look again. He came back, look, why are you? He said, I can't see any rain, no evidence. He said, go and look again. You know, he came back again, no evidence. He said, go again and look. Until the seventh time, he said, I see it. It has always been there. Yes, I see it. It is very far, but I can see it like the just a little storm. I can see it. It's like the other day we were watching the, you know, we're at the airport, and we, you know, when you're at the airport, if you look, you can see all the aircrafts lined up to land. You know, some are very, very far, just like a speck. Others become so, the closer they are, the more visible they are that they're going to. That's how it is. So, in the spirit, you can see the thing very, very far. You know, and they told the man, let's start running. Even before the rain came, he started running because he knew the rain was coming. You know, so there are many things there that we can prepare to run. You can prepare for the harvest. You can prepare for this thing that God is going to do. You say, God, I want to be part of it. Someone says it's not possible. Really? The man said, even if God opened the windows of heaven Can God, how, where will God find food to feed the whole of Israel? The man said, it will come. You will see it, but you will not be partaker of it. And it happened. By the time the blessing came, the man, they trampled upon him and he was taken out. The blessing came and others were partakers of it. You know, so I believe that and it's still the same story of the, you know, this dry bones, you know, that it's a prophet sound to it. And there's a wind coming and it's going to bring the life of God.
Amen.
You know, that valley is going to become a basis for the army of God to come forth. You know, and it became a great and mighty army. You know, I told Jim that I felt that we should pray for them, for the fellowship here.
Yeah.
That was this morning what came to me, that we need to pray for you guys.
Thank you.
You know, you need to see with the eyes of faith what God is saying. I don't know how to say it. There is something that God is speaking. You know, and you need to catch it.
After I heard you yesterday, I was praying this morning, God, open my mind to you, you know, and we want to grow in the Lord.
So I think that's where I think we need to end. Because time, someone's going to fall. You know, so I guess we'll just have time to pray. But I just feel, apart from the individual prayers, that we need to pray for the group. God is asking for commitment, you know. And that commitment is total. That is, this is first, and first means first. It's going to be above personal things. You know, God told this brother, if you take care of my business, I'll take care of your business. So the God's business needs time, it needs commitment
first place.
And when you do that, God can never owe you. God can never be indebted to you. It doesn't happen at all. He will pay, and on time, much more. You know what I mean? So it can be a competition between you and God. Who is going to give? You give God all. He gives you all. You give God all. He gives you all. So he says, you go and borrow baskets. You know, because he's going to feel, he will outgive you. You know what I mean? Very soon you have too much. You start going out to go and give to others.
Yeah.
Don't you understand? It starts overflowing.
You can't run over.
Yes, it runs over. So my head overrunning with oil. You will be giving to others and distributing. Yeah. You know, because you have so much to give. You know, so that is the word that I feel that God is speaking to you. So. I don't come to you. Jim, over to you now.
But I just want to share a little testimony before we pray.